Right, let's turn to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the good meeting. Glad to get to be here for all that I have. And praise God, I've got some great help from the preaching and the Word of God to help you in this day. Amen. And appreciate Brother Owen and getting to meet him. And kind of got this hairdo not by choice, but amen. But I kind of like it. Not much maintenance on it. Amen. So praise the Lord. But thank you, church, for the good room to stay in and all the good food. And I'm going to have to get out of here quick before I become a big preacher on that good food. So no, I praise the Lord for the good food and appreciate the opportunity to stand and to preach in the pulpit. And if you don't mind, let's stand one more time. I'm going to read these 15 verses, if you're able to stand that long. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible said, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things shewing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Let's pray. Father, I need your touch this morning. I pray, God, that you'd touch me. Lord, that you might touch these people. I pray that you'd speak through me this morning. Father, I'm not able to do anything without your touch. But you said through you I can do all things. And I pray you'd touch me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated this morning. And I want to preach here out of this text. And the Bible says here in verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And that word "for," you'll find what Paul has said in the first chapter down through these 10 verses, and what he's about to say in the last chapter. He says it's because of the grace of God. Amen. And he says here, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Then he said, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." The thought or title this morning that I would preach out of this, where it says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness." And I thought about the schoolhouse of God's grace. Amen. The schoolhouse of God's grace. When I got saved, I didn't fully understand grace, and I'm not going to tell you I understand grace now, but I thank God that ever since I got born again, Brother Brunson, I've been in the schoolhouse of God's grace. There's nobody sitting here that's graduated in being a child of God. I mean, we're not going to graduate until we're made like Him. I'm glad the Bible said over there in 1 John 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." He said, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And it ought to break our heart, the less we're like Him here, we're need to be striving to be more and more like Him. I'm glad I wasn't a predestined to salvation, but ever since I got saved, I've been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. I'm looking forward to that time and I'm going to be like Him, aren't you? But the only way we're going to be more like Him, it'll not be by our education, it'll not be by anything that we do in the flesh, but it'll be by the grace of God. It don't want to be by that. There's nobody, whoever the best Christian here is this morning, you didn't get that way by education. You didn't get that way by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. It took the grace of Almighty God. And Paul says here that for the grace of God. And now a lot of times whenever you even say Titus chapter number 2, people will start tensing up. Isn't that right? I mean, it's sad whenever you... I remember one time I was candidating a pastor. I had pastored before that and I was candidating a pastor. And I didn't even elaborate on Titus chapter number 2. I just mentioned it in a message. And I heard this woman when I was walking by. She said, if he becomes the pastor, I'll have to quit my job. And that goes over real good, doesn't it? I believe a woman ought to be a keeper at home, taking care of her own children. You say, why? Because that's what the book says. Now, you just ease off. I won't get on that this morning. But, I might if that's what the Lord have us to do. But you know what? Paul's saying the reason that the aged men ought to be sober and temperate and grave, and the aged women, and he's talking to the aged men and the aged women. He's talking to the young women and the young men. And he's talking to the children, and he gives some expectation that because God's grace has saved us and made us what we are, that by the grace of God we can be in this life what he'd have us to be. But you know what it'll take, friend? It'll take the schoolhouse of the grace of God. And everybody here that's saved this morning, you're still in the schoolhouse. There's no graduation in this life. I want to tell you this, I sure am glad that God is a God of grace. You better be glad this morning that I'm not your God. And I sure am glad that you're not my God, because I'm not too graceful a lot of times in my flesh. And I thank God this morning for the grace of Almighty God that He's shown toward me and allowed me to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you'll have one crowd, you mention the word grace, and they'll say he's a glory preacher. And you got another crowd, if you preach grace like it is, they'll say, well, he's too hard about what grace is. And this is what Mr. Webster said about the word grace. He said it is the free, unmerited love and favor of God. And I thank God for that, don't you? I'm glad the Bible said over there in Ephesians chapter number 2, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Paul said, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But thank God He wants us to be His workmanship. And there's pictures and products of grace here this morning. And that's what it takes, is the grace of God. It ain't anything inside of me outside of the grace and the mercy of God that's made me what I am or what I'm going to be. It's the grace of God. He said it's the free, unmerited favor and love of God. But Mr. Webster didn't stop there, amen. He said it's also the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from Him. I'm glad grace saved me. I'm glad grace is saving me. Amen. I'm glad we've got a God who delivered us from so great a death, and He doth deliver, and whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. I'm glad He's daily delivering me from me. Aren't you? That's God's grace. That's what God's schoolhouse of grace will do in our life. I'll tell you this morning, there's only one textbook in the schoolhouse of the grace of God, and it's God's Word. Amen. Hey, the Bible says we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. I'm glad there is the Word of God is the milk that helps us to live on. Amen. But the meat is what we can go on. The meat of the Word of God. Ain't you glad for God's Word? It's the textbook. I'll tell you what I believe is what's wrong with our churches in this day is the true grace of God is not preached in our churches. I mean, you see these churches in our day, and we tried to plant churches in our area for about 16 years, and I went back to where my old hometown was and where I got saved, and I got around a lot of my high school friends, and they're still on drugs. There's some of them been married two or three times, and they're living their lives in sin and ungodliness, and I tried to invite them to the house of God, and they said, "Oh, we go down here to Compassion Church. We go down here to Grace Church." And they ain't got much compassion or much grace at all. They're leaving them in the same condition they're in. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. I sure am glad for God's grace, aren't you? I'm glad. Hey, listen, here in Titus chapter number, or the book of Titus, the most grace in our day, I'll get over the nervousness here in a minute, amen. But most of the grace that we're seeing today in most churches is a disgrace. Paul is talking about the disgrace of the lives of the people on the island of Crete. And what it had brought was disorder in chapter number 1. He sent Titus down there to set in order the things that are wanting. And he said that those slow bellies, those lazy preachers down there, he said that that's what their culture teaches them. And by the way, I don't believe in cultural Christianity. That's a big pull, even a lot of independent Baptist churches. I believe in preaching the book like it is, amen. I believe we ought to get the culture turned to Christ. Am I making any sense this morning, amen? The disorder of the churches on the island of Crete was because of the disgrace that was going on there in the lives of the Christians, and it had brought disregard. Paul said over here in chapter number 3, he said there, this is the faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So there's a disregard for the good works God's called us to do. I believe it all hinges on that word grace, don't you? And the right view of the word grace. Paul believed in greeting grace. There in chapter number 1, Paul said in verse number 4, he said to Titus, "Mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior." I believe this Bible here was appointed to be read in the house of God. Don't you? I believe I thank God for having it in my home. And we ought to read it in our home. And we ought to read it everywhere we go. There's times I take it to work. And still do. I take it to work and read it when I got a break. Amen. But I'll tell you what. The main thing, the main place is the church. Paul said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So when Paul was writing to these places, he wanted them to come into the house of God and he could greet them by the grace of God. This morning, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there's probably some of us in here that got characteristics and manners and attitude. We wouldn't greet each other by grace. But God done a work of grace in our heart. I mean, Paul, you wouldn't want to be around Paul before he got born again. I mean, you wouldn't want to be a Christian around Paul before. I mean, it wasn't about grace, amen. It was about letters in his hand, headed down to the Damascus road to persecute and to see Christians killed. That's what it was about. But the grace of God that met him on the road to Damascus and shined the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus preached that sermon to him and changed his life. But listen, Paul, that is a common greeting of every epistle. Grace be unto you. He knew, like the songwriter said, that wherever they'd been, thank God, grace had brought them back to the house of God. He knew that wherever they'd been, whatever they'd been through, that they could come together again, and the grace of God brought them together. Hey, this meeting, you know how it's went on 50 years, and there's some sitting here that's been here for many years. It's been the grace of Almighty God that we can greet one another. I mean, it's even more grace that we can meet together in a nation where there's liberty for now. Amen. Hey, Paul said, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. Paul had greeting grace. Let me just say this for the sake of the text there, that he said grace, mercy, and peace. Now listen, there's no mercy without grace. There's no grace and mercy, or there's no peace and mercy without the grace of God. But ain't you glad to have it this morning? Peace with God. And we can have it if we'll trust God. We can have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I want to get to the schoolhouse of grace here in a little while. Amen. Paul believed in greeting grace, that wherever they'd been, they was brought back together by the grace of God. Paul believed in parting grace. In chapter 3, verse number 15, he would say that in most all of his epistles. And one of the reasons I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews is because he ends it the same way. Grace be with you. Paul, thank God, knew that grace had brought him safe thus far, and grace would lead him on. I can say the same grace that brought you to this meeting. Whenever you're going to leave, whenever you're going to head out, it'll be the grace of God, the favor of God, that'll carry you on. By the grace of God, whatever you're going to face, amen. I thank God for the good help that I've got with my worries and my troubles and sorrows last night. And I don't want to pick them up and take them back with me. But listen, there may be a burden. Listen, God will allow you to carry burdens in your Christian life. He didn't say take the burdens and the troubles away. We always speculated what that was about, what the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Well, he said it was a thorn. He said it was in the flesh. And he said it was a messenger. Isn't that what he said? He said a messenger of Satan sent forth the buffet me. Satan's an accuser. Amen. I don't know what it was, but can you imagine? You see Paul maybe more than one time. Paul would say, I persecuted the church. I wasted the church. He said he did it ignorant in unbelief. I don't know whether that thorn that he'd besought was to get it out of his mind of the mothers and the children and the Christians that would cry and that would cry out as they suffered at the hands of Saul of Tarsus. I don't know what it was, friend, but it sure seemed like it sure bothered Paul and his conscience that he'd done that. But you know what helped him, thank God? It was the grace of God. Paul said, I besought the Lord, take this from me. But God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God knows how that he needs it, what he needs to use to keep our flesh weak that we might be strong. And there's grace to help us through it. Amen. Over there in 1 Peter 5, it says, but the God of all grace. Amen. But the God of all grace, that means there's not a God with any more grace. There's not another God with grace. Amen. He said, but the God of all grace, after you've suffered a while, strengthen, establish, and settle you. Wherever we go from here, there's parting grace. Aren't you glad for that? Paul believed in biblical saving grace. He said, therefore the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I believe that grace is also a schoolmaster, don't you? The law is our schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. And you know where it leads us to? It leads us to a hill called Calvary. Grace leads us to that hill called Calvary, and He takes us up there to die. Amen. The schoolmaster grace takes us to Calvary and leaves us there to die at the foot of Calvary. That's where sinners will have to die to sin, right there, amen. But you know what? Thank God on that same hill, Brother Burnett, the grace is there. Law and grace working together, amen. The law's our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ and the cross of Calvary, and He leaves us there until we die. Thank God grace is a schoolmaster that leads us from, that saves us and leads us from Calvary, and it leads us in following and living like the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, it's a tall order to try to be like Christ, isn't it? Amen. It takes the grace of God. It takes the grace of God. We can't look down our nose. You won't believe this, but there was a time when I first got saved, I had long hair. Amen. I didn't have this nice do that me and the pastor got. Amen. There's times I'd see some old hippie, some fella that was ashamed, the Bible says, and I'd see him and think, boy, he needs to cut his hair. No doubt he does, but I sure am glad the grace of God said, you know what I've done for you? You remember when you was in that condition, amen? Hey, we ought not turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, but we ought not turn the grace of God into the law of God. Hey, thank God they need each other, and we need both of them in this day. I believe in saving grace, don't you? Paul believed in saving grace. Romans 5 verse 20 said, more of the law entered that the offense might abound. Amen. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. It said, whereas as death, let me turn over there. If I can't quote it, I don't need to quote it wrong. But over here in Romans chapter number 5, I believe it is. At least I can get started here. It says, more of the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's enough to run the aisles and run down the street. Amen? Because you were worse than you realize you were. I'm worse than I think I am. Ain't you glad for the grace of God? He said that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace doesn't reign by lasciviousness. That's what's going on today. That's why you got biker church. That's why you got cowboy church. That's why you got rock and roll church. That's why you got rap church. I tell you what, I believe the grace of God can take people from different walks of life and change them and bring them into the house of God. And you don't have to give this one rock and roll. And you have to give this one a southern rock or whatever country. God will change your life. And what reigns, grace reigns through righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. Amen. So Paul believed in saving grace. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. I believe it's perverted grace to say a man's predestined to heaven before he gets born again. Amen. I mean, you got to get highly educated to believe something different what the Word of God has to say. And there's a resurgence of this Catholic doctrine, this Calvinistic doctrine of what some call fatalism and Calvinism. But listen, I thank God, I don't get educated above the book, do you? My Bible tells me He died for all men. Amen. He died for he loved all men. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He died for all men. He loved all men. He likes all men. Isn't that right? Now, if you've got your world of the elect in your mind, I'm probably not going to convince you. You might can't convince it, amen. Well, he lights all men. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, all things are made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible said there was a man sent from God. The man, his name was John. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm glad I'm preaching about Jesus Christ, this life. His life was light, and the Bible tells me that He's the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. So I don't know what else to believe. Had a Calvinist say, well, you just get educated enough and you'll believe it. I just thank God for the simplicity that's in Christ. Don't just stay with the simple Christ or the Word of God. You'll get after another Jesus and another gospel, which ain't a gospel at all, and another spirit behind that. He loved every man. He loved all men. He likes all men. And thank God He was lowered for every man. Paul said in Hebrews 2, verse number 9, he said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hey, I'm glad for the Bible, aren't you? Thank God for the Word of God. He was lifted for every man. Jesus, knowing He is going to Calvary, knowing what He'd go through, He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should have eternal life. He said over there, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. Amen. I'm glad for saving grace. Romans 3:21 said, but now the righteousness of the law is manifest. But now the righteousness of the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Was the last night you were dealing with that word all? Amen. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ain't you glad our God's willing to save all? Thank God for saving grace. Well, I've spent a little longer on that one, but I believe it needed, amen, this day. And I believe in standing grace. It says here in Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 7. Well, let's start at verse number 4. It said, but after that... So after what? It says, for we ourselves also are sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, I'm glad I've got after that settled. Because there's coming and after this. The judgment, amen. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it says in verse number 7, that being, that's my being this morning. Well, I tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would have lost it. And you would have too, amen. Says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'm glad this morning. I tell you, it's brought me and helped me plenty of times. Whatever my situation, what I was going through, I didn't really feel like I was saved. I wasn't acting like I was saved because I was worried like we was talking about last night. But I sure am glad when the Holy Ghost takes me back by a little place called White Bluff, Tennessee, sitting on a bicycle at 3 o'clock in the morning as a 13-year-old boy, afraid if I went to sleep, I'd wake up in hell. And all I could hear was a man of God quoting Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called on God that night, and He saved me, and He's kept me saved by His grace. Amen. I'm looking forward to the ages to come where He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward me through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. I'm glad my standing never changes. He knew what I was before He saved me, Brother Shoemaker. He knew what I was going to be after He saved me. Amen. Over there in Romans chapter number 4, it talks about how that He was crucified for our sins and for our justification. And the very next verse said, therefore, In chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In case you think that's just Paul's doctrine, you can turn over the last chapter of Peter's epistle, first epistle, and he says the same thing about standing grace. It's good to be saved, isn't it? So I said all that to give you the last one here. Teaching grace. The schoolhouse of God's grace. I tell you what, because of God's grace towards you and I don't know where you come from. My testimony lines up more of the pastors, all my family today. Some of them's on meth. They've been married two or three times. Family members been married five, six times, things like that. I've got a sister out on the streets this morning, and she's out there. And when she comes off the street, she steals from my mama, hits my mama, all kind of things going on. And I think about that. I'll never forget one time, Brother Brunson, my dad, he was cheating on my mom when I was born. You pray for my dad. I want him to be saved. He want me to come around him. But I remember I went back to where him and my stepbrothers lived one Thanksgiving. And they wouldn't pay the electric bill so they could smoke dope. He'd take my stepbrother's money so he could buy marijuana. One of my brothers committed suicide. Hung himself because his own mama slapped him in the face and called him a bastard. Because she wanted his money. He wanted to take his friends to the county fair. He's going to pay for it. He bought the only one in the house that worked. It still don't work. His own mama slapped him in the face, called him a bastard, and he went out and hung himself. First funeral I ever preached. And I'm nobody, but they cussed me while I tried to preach that funeral and was mad and all of that. I'm praying they'll get saved. But I remember going down there one Thanksgiving. I went down there. I tried to visit them. I tried to be around them and tried to be a witness to them, things like that. But they just get too belligerent through the years. But I remember walking back through the back. I was going in the back of the house. I was going to the bathroom. But I got down that hall and I could hear them in there, the rock music blaring on the television, wicked horror movies I know they watched. And I was just walking down through there and the Holy Ghost said, "You could have been here." Amen. I tell you what, tears filled my eyes and I got thinking about how my stepbrothers have been brought up and all the things that's going on in that house. And by the grace of God, some people picked me up and took me to the house of God from 7 years old to 13 years old and I got saved. I'm glad, thank God, when my mother and father forsook me, the Lord took me up. They've clothed me, thank God. They've transported me. Hey, I'm satisfied with the grace of God. Amen. I tell you, it's worth trying to be what ought to be for the Lord. It's worth trying to have a home that lines up with Titus chapter number 2. I mean, he said you aged men, you need to be what you ought to be. You aged women ought to be what you ought to be. He said you younger men, you younger women, you children, and he said you ought to be that the Word of God be not blasphemed. If I'm reading it right there, it ain't just about mama not being what she ought to be. But there's a word likewise in there. Likewise. Amen? Amen. Say why? For. Because. Is that right? Amen? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So let me break down this one, the schoolhouse of grace. You know how we'll grow in the schoolhouse of grace? If we'll listen. You got to listen in the schoolhouse of grace. You know why the man of God stands up to preach and why his voice is going? Paul said in verse number 1, he said, but, amen? Although they're living their life in a disgrace, he said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Amen. I sure am glad for what my ears have got to hear through the years. Brother, I believe you'd agree, me and you are about the same age. The only thing we are is by the grace of God and by the men that God's put in our path. Well, it's been such a help, amen. But we'll have to listen. Not just, I'm afraid we hear the tone, but not the text. I like all kind of preaching. We've heard different preaching here this week. I mean, I like it either way, but you know what makes a difference? The Spirit of God and the Word of God. I mean, I'm probably just geared wide open and all of that, but I thank God for slow plowing, Brother Sable. Every time I've heard him, I'm telling you, there ain't been many men that preached and preached in a high gear since he said that has helped me any more than the man of God. I just say preach it how God has you to preach it, and preach it line upon line, precept upon precept, and God's going to allow us to grow if we will listen in the schoolhouse of grace. I hadn't always listened to you. I'm afraid we can hear the sound of grace a lot of times, but we ignore the Spirit of grace. I've been guilty, hadn't you? Hear the sound of the grace of God, but ignore the Spirit of grace, God's grace. I'll say this again. I sure am glad that God has more grace than I do. I'm glad God has more grace than you do. And that's not condoning sin for a second. God ain't Grandpa sitting on a throne up there in his Bermuda shirt. Like Chuck Swindoll said, why can't we picture God sitting on his throne? Or God sitting, I don't think he said not sitting on a throne. I thought because he is on a throne. And you ain't going to take him off that. He said, why can't we picture God as a loving God that's sitting there in his shorts in his Bermuda shirt? You know why? Because he's not that God. Amen. God ain't going to change for nobody. And we may as well, by the grace of God, listen to the Word of God. Believe you'll listen. If you and me will listen, we'll learn. So it said there in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Listen, when I first got saved, I didn't know how to dress. My wife went to church. You dress one way in church and dress another way outside of church. It's hypocrisy to dress modest in the house of God and go out and sad to say, even men wearing stuff up to here. I like what the preacher said last night. I'm telling you, it said, uncover the thigh, make bare the leg. This is the thigh and that's the leg. It probably ought to go down pretty far, amen. I'd say this, just ask your beloved bridegroom, if you're saved by the grace of God, how would you like me to dress? That be okay, amen? I thank God for God's grace in teaching me some things. I thank God, Brother Brunson, for some things I've learned. Ain't you? I just wonder, though, I'm seeing some people that have been around for a long time that taught me things, and I just wonder, how is it that the grace that taught you not to do for years has gradually allowed it? Did y'all hear that? I mean, the grace of God taught you for years now gradually allows it to go on. Well, I know how obsolete this is and how it goes in one ear and out the other right here, but that same God that taught you to get the television out of your house, I understand now you probably have to throw your phone away and throw your computer away and all, but hey, that same God, just because you got a phone, just because you got a computer, does that mean you had to bring the television back in? Well, amen. We become a cursed thing like unto it. Know what I'm saying? I mean, gradually. The grace of God don't gradually allow you to unlearn, if I can say it that way. Y'all still with me this morning? I'm trying to preach a sweet and sour message. Amen. I'm glad for God's grace. If we'll listen, I believe we'll learn. Seemed like through the years that I pastored it, people's questions and things they've done, they just read their Bible to see how close they could get to sin without sinning. Is that right? Now, that's in all of our nature. The old man, he wants to get as close to sin as he can, but I sure am glad for the new man, amen. Hey, thank God. I understand the old man is deceitful, is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He'll always be corrupt till I get the new body. But I'm telling you, there's a new man inside of me that's created in righteousness and true holiness. Thank God he's a new creature. By the grace of God, I can learn. That's not the way to read our Bible. To read it, try and find out how close we can get to sin before it's sin. I'd say stay away from it, wouldn't you? Well, I tell you, since I got born again, Pastor, there's a desire to get away from sin, as far away from sin as I can get. And I've been a miserable failure sometime. But let me say this, the schoolhouse of grace, if we'll listen, we'll learn. And I believe we learn, we'll leave. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, 1 Thessalonians 5:22 said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. There's another one of them alls. Amen. And God wants us to live. It says that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I think the grace that's going to take us to heaven will teach us to live right on earth, don't you? I worry about people who claim the grace of God all the time, but they don't want to live for God. Amen? And it'll make us look this morning. Ain't you glad the grace of God brings salvation? He said, it appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So how we do that? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and purifying Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I want to be a zealous student, amen, in God's schoolhouse of grace. Don't you? I'll say again, we don't graduate until we get to heaven. Amen? Ain't you glad for what the grace of God's doing in your life? Stay busy in the schoolhouse of God's grace. I'm glad He allowed me to be in the schoolhouse, aren't you? Still in it. Sometimes I wish I wasn't, don't you? Will I ever learn? But I thank God for the grace of God.